You know, we talked earlier this week, and we thought by now we would be discussing what those topics are for the special session, but things are still silent in Austin.
You know, yesterday the governor had promised an announcement, and you know what? We may have some gamesmanship between the governor and the lieutenant governor going on.
Well, you know, I spoke to Representative Rainey about this a little bit yesterday. The styles are completely different from the leadership in the House with Joe Strauss and the leadership in the Senate with Dan Patrick. Talk a little bit about having a speaker like Strauss, where it's quiet, but I guess he's got control of the body.
He does. He's a gentleman, first and foremost. He's an elected official just like us. He has to represent his portion of Bexar County, and then he presides over 149 other representatives that need to be focused on their constituents and their districts, and he allows us to do that. You go to the other side, and you know my favorite point of the Senate this session is there were a lot of 31-0 votes. There's 20 strong Republicans and 11 strong Democrats. And their views are totally different. 31-0, that's coming from the top, not from the bottom up.
It really is, and that makes the environment unfortunate. But at the same time, there was a little bit of rancor in the House. And again, I've referenced your situation when you and I spoke about 3 weeks ago. You were about as frustrated as I've ever heard you because a small group of Republicans were able to hold up local bills, and the business of the House was not getting done.
At the end of the day, the local and consent calendar is the key to us serving our districts. And that calendar needs to be respected, that those local folks need the opportunity to do what – I mean, we go back to local control. We're going to allow the local elected officials to do what they need to do, and we've got to take those roadblocks or those speed bumps away at the state level so we can focus on local control.
Well, and I guess if people think about it, this is kind of what the Tea Party would do. The Tea Party came in, and they were I don't want to say obstructionist necessarily, but the business of the elected body didn't move that way. How do you think statewide the look of the House will be in 2 years when it's time for another election? Are we going to move more conservatively, or are we going to see that these guys and gals really tried to block the process?
That's a great question. I look at it from both sides. Some of the local elections, I guess national news last week, my old hometown of Pearland, you saw the Democrats engage and take over school board and city council seats, and you've got a runoff for the mayor, and it's very interesting. You look at the numbers on Hillary and Trump in the cities, and I would say some of those 52 to 48, those tight districts that are holding Republican House members may be in jeopardy. So it's going to be tight. You know, best estimate as we sit around and visit at the end of session with some of my colleagues, we're thinking the Democrats may pick up 6 to 8 seats over the interim. And so we're going to be closer to that 60 number of Democrats for the first time. And since I've served, you know, it's been 195 somewhere in there of Republicans stronghold, and they're going to start nicking away at it.
Well, I would think that generally people like compromise. Compromise is certainly how a lot of laws of the land were made, and it's been it hasn't been that process. I mean, we see it in Washington. We're seeing a little bit more in Austin. Kyle Cassell joining us in studio. What do you say to those people who will say to you, I sent you to Austin to fix school finance and you didn't do it?
You know, I almost just want to apologize. We in the House had a priority that we were going to take care of this because we didn't have a court. We weren't waiting on a decision from a judge. We had the opportunity. You had it in HB 21 and 22, and those bills got hung up between us and the Senate where it was vouchers versus funding public education. And I'll argue today, as I will every day, two jobs. We need a balanced budget coming out of there, and we need to provide the best public education we can for the children of Texas. And we let them down.
Well, and one of the losers certainly is school districts, and because, again, you're in an interesting situation, unlike Representative Rainey, you're more like a congressional district in that you've got a lot of counties, a lot of different school districts, and there are certainly different challenges for some of these school districts because we see in Brazos County property values are going up all the time. Well, in some of your counties, that situation doesn't exist. So what happens to those property-poor school districts?
Yeah, that's, you know, good examples. Falls and Limestone County. Mm-hmm. We've got two issues, I guess Robertson as well. We just made it over the hump in Marlin. We're moving forward. Board of directors, you know, kept the superintendent. Hearn got a reprieve a couple weeks ago, and, you know, we hired Dr. Johnson. He's going to do an incredible job. That board's engaged. They're moving forward. And now we looked at Acetar was, you know, on the table in the negotiations when the Senate finally named a conference committee on 21-22, and then that was a non-issue. We couldn't get there. And Groesbeck ISD, you know, they had a meeting. I talked to Superintendent Dr. Rahm 2-3 days ago, met with all the teachers, and he thinks they've got 2 years, $4.5 billion short, and asking all the teachers to take a 10% cut across the board on faculty and administration. They're going to do everything they can, and we're going to meet next week with Commissioner Morath and bring in the folks from Groesbeck and some other schools. Because when that debate on the floor was going down, I think Ken King and Dan Huberty made a point. They've already received letters from 15-plus schools that say, if ACOTAR goes away, we're going to shut our doors in less than 2 years.
Sure. And ACOTAR is additional state aid for tax reduction. That's what it's called. And again, those are for, we have great days here in Brazos County. But again, other counties' property values are not continuing to go up, and there does have to be some sort of a supplement for them. Yeah, for that to go away, and on top of that, the legislature not solve the public education question, just funding for everybody, it does seem like a disservice to the kids, that's for sure. Well, let's talk about the positive side. From the Kyle Cassell point of view, what are the things that happened in the session that you personally were pleased about?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back real quick to limited government. And you look at the 85th and 84th, there's only 344 bills that have passed.
Wow.
Compared to 1,300. That's truly amazing. From my side, on the ag side, we were able to get the ag lien bill passed, which was huge. That was one of the only priorities we got passed. So many bills died, not only with local consent, but with the clock running out. And then one of my favorite bills that we were able to pass was the workers' comp benefit for surviving spouses of first responders. Mm-hmm. And that was huge. And that took a lot of work. And I want to thank Senator Hancock. He personally on the Senate side helped us get that one across. And I think those surviving spouses owe him a debt of gratitude. We worked hard and they deserve it.
Well, Kyle Cassell with us this morning. I appreciate the time this morning. Maybe we will be talking again from Austin. And if not, then we thank you for the service this time, and we'll look forward to seeing if you're going to run for re-election. Go do it again.
You got it. I just hope if you'll be so kind, I'll come in and do it every Thursday here in the studio.
That'd mean you're not down in Austin where you don't want to be.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks again, Kyle. I appreciate
it. Have a great
day. All right, you too.